Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. Happy Thursday, November 11th. Also known, of course, most importantly, is Veterans Day in our country. And we want to start today's show by thanking all the men and women who have proudly and bravely and nobly served our country. There is no, I could not think of a more noble duty to serve. We are endlessly grateful for all those that have served that role and those that continue to serve that role and that will one day serve our country. Our freedom is not something we should ever take for granted. And I'm sure all of us know someone who has served or is serving the country. And everybody listen to this podcast every single day. Many of you may be aware of this, but we have one of our own, one of our very own, Mr. Daniel Dopp, who you may know him now as bearded with long hair and sleeve tattoos and very much, you get the piercings and a look that you may not necessarily think of as your customary military sort of look. And yet Daniel Dopp, look at that bright-eyed, big smile, youthful exuberance, Daniel, who served in our Air Force. And Daniel, we love you for so many reasons. Your past is amongst those reasons. And we want to take a few minutes just to ask you about your experience and let you reflect on what it means to have served this country. You and your brother both did, and how much it means to you guys to have had that experience under your belt.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I also want to say thank you to my little brother for doing this as well. I mean, I love being able to serve with him and anybody else that has been out there. Sorry, I'm trying to mute my computer. I would like to say that my time in the military taught me something that I wasn't really expecting. I grew up in a very white evangelical community. And when I joined, not that there's anything wrong with that, but when I joined the military, there was so much world that I got to experience. When I moved to Texas, it was totally different. And then I moved to Hawaii and it's a whole different way of life. And then I moved to Baltimore and I just realized how much was out there that I hadn't seen in different cultures and the way that people live that I was so grateful for, that when I joined the military, it was able to expand my horizon and show me so much stuff that I hadn't seen. First off, how much privilege I had, one, but the idea that there are so many different things out there. And I say this with all the love in my heart. The reason that I served is people. I love people. And I don't care what ethnicity you are. I don't care what religion you are or what you believe. I don't care who you love. Like, you are perfect the way that you are. And I want you to be the person that you are. I spent 6 years in the Air Force fighting so that today I can say, take time to love yourself, because that's what I fought for today, was for you to realize how valuable you are and how worth everything that you want in life, you deserve. I want you to know that you are loved and you are an amazing human being, and I want you to know that more than anything. So I'm so grateful to being able to have served and been a part of this, because I love being able to interact with people and relationship and community, because it's so much fun to me and there's so much value in it. And so please take 5 minutes today and love yourself, because I fought for 6 years so that you could take 5 minutes today so that you can remember how valuable you are, because you are an amazing human being, and give yourself that credit. Don't let anyone take that value away from you. All right. I love you. Stefania loves you. Mike loves you. Field loves you. You're amazing, and that's what I spent 6 years fighting for, is for people to be able to be who they are and to be able to love themselves. So that's my soapbox.
Wow, Dan, wow. I mean, that's beautiful. I
well know. Said, my friend.
Thank you, Daniel. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your service, and thank you for being the person that you are, because we feel that every single day. And you're going to make me tear up on this show, and I'm not going to be happy about that. But I also want to take a moment to honor my father, mm-hmm. also a veteran in the Air Force, served in Korea. And had he not served and been stationed at one point out in California, he might not have taken my mom to California so that I could grow up there. But my dad is my hero. He went back to Korea many years later when they brought back vets, and they honored them for their service, because it was really not acknowledged. At the time, it was the Korean conflict, not the Korean War. And so to see him go back as an elderly citizen and get recognized by the people of Korea was something that meant the world to me. And now, believe me when I tell you, as the daughter of a veteran, when people come up to my 90-year-old father now and say, thank you for your service, or buy him coffee, or treat him to breakfast, it means the world to me and my family.
Yeah, that's great. First of all, Daniel, thank you, obviously. You know, you're one of the best people I know, not just you, your family, the best families I know. So thank you. And also shout out to my brother-in-law, Billy Gunn, married to my sister, who served as well for quite a while. So thank you to him. Thank you to all the veterans out there. It really means a lot.
Yeah, I had a chance to catch up with my dad this morning, who served for 6 years as a Marine. And my dad hasn't spent a lot of time talking about with me and my siblings about what those 6 years were like. And I found that I'm not going to make him uncomfortable or go back through things that maybe he doesn't want to dive that deep into. And we've talked about it and to some distance or some degree. But I just got it. And I'm incredibly grateful for him and for all those that have served. I love seeing how proud Stefania's father is of his service. He always wears his veteran's hat. And I just think the most amazing part about what Daniel just said is that I think sometimes we get a little bit naive in thinking about the role in which our active service plays in our country. And I'm not saying that these are not essential and irreplaceable responsibilities, but we tend to, you know, you think about what people are fighting for. We think about just they're fighting wars and they're protecting us and keeping us safe, and what you dove deep into, Daniel. Not that you were not doing exactly that as well, but the ability to love yourself is not something that I think everybody is always thinking of when they think about the role that our veterans and our active service play in our country. So I thought that was just a beautiful set of remarks from you, Daniel. Mike said it. Stefania said it. We are not delivering lip service here right now. If you find anybody here at ESPN who does not find Daniel Dopp to be one of the greatest people you'll ever meet, that person's either lying to you or has not had the chance to spend time with Daniel. We're so lucky every single day to have him here. I love seeing the remembrance from your mother this morning on Twitter. Mm-hmm. She's so endlessly proud of you and your brother, Daniel.
She is.
And I know there haven't always been that many easy days, and some days are better than others, but just know that you make so many people so proud to call you a brother. Your mom is so, both your parents, so happy to be parents to you. And we're all so grateful to be friends and hopefully family to you as well.
Absolutely.
So many people to thank. You know, I always think about just everybody here at ESPN that has served our country. I don't know if we're doing this year. I know, yes, in previous years. Okay.
Yeah,
the bottom line.
There'll be, you'll see it throughout the day, but good. Really does a wonderful job here at ESPN of, and through the Disney company, of saluting our service members. So look for that interspersed through the programming throughout today.
Well said by everybody. We appreciate that. And consider this show, and really most shows that we do, dedicated to the people that serve our great country. And hopefully those that are out there serving right now, if there are people that are out there right now, I know the days are not always easy, and I know that sometimes you need a distraction. And I would hope that fantasy football is the exact kind of distraction that helps your day move just a little bit faster. So along those lines, let's talk about some fantasy football here. And it's Thursday, so we have a little bit of information on the injury reports of Week 10. Stefania, let's head over to you, and a busy week right now in the NFC South, starting in New Orleans, where there were some murmurs about Alvin Kamara dealing with something, and he did not practice yesterday.
Yeah, knee issue. It sounds like it's being reported as a mild sprain. And, you know, we see veterans who don't practice on a Wednesday, and you don't necessarily get alarmed yet because sometimes they're just getting a veteran day off. But this one has my eyebrows raised. Alvin Kamara, you may recall, dealt with an MCL injury a couple of years ago and tried to play through but struggled, and then ended up, I think, missing 2 games in total. But when he came back, he wasn't 100%, and it definitely impacted his performance. So if, in fact, he has tweaked this same area, which we don't know for a fact, but sort of hearing rumblings of that, then they may take the wise move and say, you know, even if this is minor, let's protect him and make sure we don't compromise him for the rest of the season. So I would say, at least for this week, his status is up in the air.
You know, I had heard about this a little bit earlier on in the week and started to do some reporting around it. And one of the interesting parts of injury reporting is that someone can describe something to me as, hey, it's not that serious. it's a very subjective term, Mike. You know, not that serious could mean, hey, it's not season ending, but he might miss 3 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. Or it could mean, hey, it's not that serious. He might not practice on Wednesday, but he'll be back on Thursday. We're all good to go for Sunday. We've seen things like Austin Eckler, as an example, miss multiple days of practice during the week. We've seen several players who have not practiced on multiple days during the week and then practice, then play on Sunday. But if we have to imagine
Can
a scenario.
I interrupt you before you go on just to make this one point about Alvin Kamara in particular, because what you're saying is really important, and that it may not be serious in terms of an injury that's devastating with long-term consequences, but this is where you really look at the player and the style of play, and you say, how does it impact him? Because Alvin Kamara is so good with his balance. One of the things he does better than just about any running back is he moves laterally, and he looks like he's going to get taken down. He'll be way off balance, and all of a sudden he recovers, and he comes back, and he trains very hard for that. He works very hard for that. When you have a sprain in a ligament around your knee, it completely disrupts that. So even if it's mild, it can completely change your ability to perform, and that's what we saw happen before when he really his performance metrics went down after that injury. So it's just a reminder for fans out there that sometimes you think, oh, the injury is not that serious and will he play, but could it change the dynamic with which he plays, and are they going to try and preempt that?
We'll keep an eye on whether he does play, but for Michael, just for a second, let's imagine a scenario he does not play on Sunday. That Mark Ingram trade made just a few weeks ago seems all that much more important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, he's played, I think, more than we realize these past two games, or more than useful. We expected, I should say, right? 15 carries, 7 targets, is 18 fantasy points already in those two games. So he's been solid, and you're right. I mean, if Kamara is out, there's not a lot of competition. It's almost like Cleveland, right? We're like, D'Ernest Johnson, we're in on him because there's nothing else really there. That's the same kind of thing in New Orleans, right? You have Dwayne Washington, who's more of a special teamer, right? You're not going to see him play a lot. Lamar Miller's on the practice squad. I believe Josh Adams just signed to the practice squad. So there's a couple guys who could come in and maybe play a few snaps, do a little pass blocking, have the occasional carry, but it should be the Ingram show. And he may be in his early 30s now, but we've seen him handle the load before. He can catch the football. As I mentioned, he already has 7 targets in these two games, and we know he can handle a lot of carries. He's done that. Was it week one? He had like 24 carries against the Jags.
Literally.
So
yeah.
I do think he could push for 15 or so carries and maybe 5 targets in this game. It'd be hard to bench him, certainly in a much better situation in New Orleans than was in Houston.
By the way, he is just 20 yards shy of tying the franchise record for rushing in New Orleans. You know how much he means to that city, and you know how much that city means to him. I'm sure he'd be thrilled to break that record that is currently held by the great Deuce McAllister, one of my favorite people that is covering football and still does a great job with the Saints broadcasting today. Chris Godwin, Stefania, also on the injury report for the Bucs, who all of a sudden are dealing with a few injuries.
Right, and coming out of a bye, this isn't what you like to see. Chris Godwin missed practice with what is being called a foot injury, nothing more specific than that, but it sounds like Bruce Arians didn't sound completely confident that he'd be available for this week. So at least potentially Chris Godwin sidelined.
So Chris Godwin has the ankle issue. Antonio Brown has the ankle issue. And Gronk still has that ribs issue. It's, you know, Tuesday it was, the Bucs signed Breshad Perriman to their practice squad. And my antenna went up a little bit, but I'm like, wait, hold on. Antonio Brown kind of has replacements on that roster, whether it's Tyler Johnson, whether it's Scotty Miller. Now things make a little bit more sense here, Mike. If Godwin and Gronk and AB are out, which all seems to make sense, I have two questions for you. One, what does it mean for Mike Evans? And two, is there anybody else that you would thrust into your lineup?
Well, first of all, even with just Brown out, I have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin top 5 this week. I think they're in a terrific spot.
It's an amazing matchup.
It's a great matchup. The targets have been going there when Brown has been out to those two guys. They'll be in good shape. So like them anyway. Now, if Godwin's out, then it gets interesting, right? First of all, I think you'll see more 12 personnel, right? You'll see more Cameron Bate and O.J. Howard out there, even without Gronk. So that helps boost their target share a little bit. But Tyler Johnson, I mean, it'd be hard to pinch him, right? I mean, as someone who is on the quantitative side and doing projections, and 100% of the targets have to go somewhere, right? I mean, Tom Brady's, what, second in the NFL in pass attempts? He may still be first, even after the bye. Those balls have to go somewhere, right? Yeah. And you would think 7 will go to Tyler Johnson. How do you not rank him as at least a top 30 play, maybe top 25? I mean, the volume is going to be there. The only risk is they bring up Perriman, and he plays a ton, which seems unlikely. Scotty Miller is a name to watch. He could be activated from IR. He's been out a while, and he was behind Johnson even when he played. They were kind of splitting snaps early in the season when he played when Brown was out the first time, but he was still behind him. So I would think, again, Evans, if Godwin is out as well, You have Evans top five. Johnson's a guy you could start as, say, let's say safely as a wide receiver three. And then after that, it gets very risky. You'd be totally throwing darts at Miller and Perriman and Jalen Darden, who they, again, use as a returner. So that's kind of how, that's what I'd be looking at.
If ever there was a team to throw a dart on, it's probably Tampa Bay, but,
yes.
But still, it's a dart all the same. Quick, Daniel, what do you got?
Yeah, does Gio Bernard factor into this offense at all, understanding that he's a pass-catching running back? You know, I kind of feel like he's sort of fallen out of a, you know, a role a little bit here.
Seems like his role is very specific, right?
Yeah.
It's like if they're trailing
yes.
or if they're at the end of the first half, he's playing.
Exactly, and it's like the worst case scenario for that role is to be on this offense.
Yeah.
Like maybe in the playoffs he'll have like 15 catches, you know, if they're in a lot of competitive games. But when they're in situations like this week where they should win handily, it's just not a great spot for them. You need them to get the ball with, you know, up 7 points with a 1 minute and 30 seconds left in the first half, like to get a bunch of it's so hard to count on him unless it, you know, it's like they're playing the Rams right. or like a really tough opponent.
Yeah, I think it was that Rams game right. where he had yeah. 9 catches all the way back about a month or so ago. A couple more injuries, Stefania, in Seattle. Chris Carson, obviously Russell Wilson returning is big news, but not to be overlooked is Chris Carson's return.
Yes, so he was designated for return by the Seahawks, and he went to practice on Wednesday, and this was a big test. I mean, Chris Carson's missed 4 games with this neck injury. It's important to remember that this is a chronic condition for him. The Seahawks have acknowledged that, but he had an acute flare-up, and it was clearly something that gave them significant pause. I mean, a few weeks ago, Pete Carroll was questioning whether Chris Carson would be able to return to play at all from this. So he's vastly improved. And Pete Carroll's comments yesterday were really interesting. And I think if you listen to them, you can sort of tease out some of the nuance. He said that he no longer was dealing with the discomfort that he originally had. So it sounds like from a symptom standpoint, at least at rest, they feel like he's out of the woods. He said his conditioning was great. He's been keeping himself in shape. He could run. He could do everything they asked him to at practice yesterday. But he hadn't done anything with contact. And so he said today, Thursday, would be the day where he'd get banged around a little bit and they would see how he responded. Clearly, contact with this kind of injury is the thing that they're most concerned about. And as a running back, he's going to be taking a lot of it. So is it possible that he could be activated if he has a couple good days? I think so. But if I look at the schedule, they're playing Green Bay away with just a couple of days of practice. The following week, they get a home game against the Cardinals, gives them more time to sort of see how he responds. It feels to me like they might opt to wait for that, but stay tuned. That could change.
We'll keep an eye on that one. Obviously, Alex Collins, the next man up in that backfield. He's been pretty solid filling in for Chris Carson, all things considered. One more, Stefania, is the Washington football team is certainly looking for anybody that can catch passes these days. And Logan Thomas has a chance to be back on the field on Sunday.
He does, but it doesn't sound promising. So he had a workout this week and, approaching the time that he could come off the injured reserve. And apparently it didn't go that well. Hamstring's still sore. And there's some real question as to whether he'll be available this week or not.
Okay, so perhaps one more week of Ricky Seals-Jones handling that top tight end duties in Washington. A bunch of players returned to practice yesterday. Not necessarily fantasy relevant ones, but this is the time of the year where teams are hoping to get some reinforcements. Daniel, what do you have?
I just got an alert from Rick Stroud that says no Chris Godwin during the portion of practice open to media today.
Hey, yo. Fits with what we were saying.
Yeah. Sometimes you just sort of put the puzzle pieces together and these things make some logical sense. So perhaps Breshad Perriman is not just there to go back and enjoy some of the sunny weather after spending time in both Detroit and also Chicago. Perhaps there's a reason why he has been brought back to Tampa Bay. Wouldn't it be something to see him producing once again? Remember a few years ago with Jameis as the quarterback, He had an unbelievable finish to the season. I believe that was actually 2019 for Breshad Perriman. We are going to preview Thursday Night Football in just a minute. It is, of course, the Dolphins and the Ravens. But first, Stefania, do you own or rent your home?
I do.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Actually, Rico owns it, but you know.
Rico owns it.
I'm just co-sign.
I bet it can be hard work.
Yes, it will be.
But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Alrighty, we are back and we are previewing Thursday night football. The Ravens travel down to Miami to play the Dolphins. There are more fantasy relevant Ravens than there are Dolphins, Mike. Hmm. And in a weird couple of weeks where quarterbacks have been struggling, one seems to be trending in the right direction. It's Lamar Jackson, who is quarterback one on my board this week. Mike, with a sincere distaste for Lamar Jackson, has him all the way down at quarterback two. Care to explain yourself?
Yeah, bench him, obviously.
Wow.
So bench him in one-team leagues immediately.
You should. Right,
if you're in a one-team league, you get him on your bench. That's what you do.
And who are you playing instead?
I don't know. Who do I have first? Josh Allen? Stop it. You can tell me the seventh string
cornerback on a Canadian football league team, but you don't know you have quarterback one this year.
I honestly don't. I can't. It could be Allen.
I think it's Josh Allen. If I recall, it's Josh Allen.
Brady's up pretty high.
Yes.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's got to be Allen.
Yes.
That adds up.
More seriously, though, Mike, he is... You know, we were talking about this yesterday because we were having a Bills-Chiefs conversation. And just like, if you redrafted for the rest of the season, I think if I wanted one quarterback, it would either be Lamar Jackson or Tom Brady. He's been exceptional recently.
Yeah, and he has the advantage of running so much, right? That really gives him an edge and keeps his floor so high. And we've seen that this season. 18-plus fantasy points in 7 of his 8 games. He's a number 4 scoring quarterback. He has 4 top 7 finishes. So he has been terrific. He's the floor you want. He has the high ceiling. There are more balanced offense now for the first time in the Lamar Jackson era. This is not a run-heavy offense. It's a balanced offense relative to the rest of the league, and those additional pass attempts help boost his production. Also, we love the matchup here tonight going up against Miami. The 6th most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks, the 2nd most yards, and the 5th most touchdowns. So you love everything about this. There's not anything else to say other than you start this guy, obviously, in every format.
If you told me I could get 40 passing attempts from Lamar Jackson in a game, I'd love that. If you told me I could get 20 rushing attempts in a game from Lamar Jackson, I'd love that as well. Last week, he got both, Mike. He is just absurd. And I believe his yards per attempt is up at like 9 yards per attempt. So 40 passing attempts equates to potentially like 350, 60 yards for Lamar Jackson in a game. He is just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. As far as the running backs are concerned, Stefania, we do have an injury to monitor. That's Latavius Murray, who has been out for at least 1 week, plus the bye week. Do we expect him back tonight?
We do not. He's coming into this game as doubtful,
given
that ankle injury. So no Latavius Murray.
Mike, who would have thought this? Devontae Freeman being back on the radar. I would have thought earlier in the year that the Ravens had found something in Tyson Williams. Something is keeping him off the field. I don't want to bother trying to figure out what it is because we just don't know. How much confidence do you have in Devontae Freeman or Le'Veon Bell tonight? And no, this is not an old edition of Fantasy Focus from 2016 that Daniel thought he had scrubbed and just reinserted into the feed.
Yeah, Murray, Freeman,
right? Seriously,
Bell, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, LeSean McCoy coming up next in the Thursday Night Football Preview.
Exactly.
Ronnie Brown action just a few
Ronnie
minutes
Brown,
away.
There we go. Can run some Wildcat, right? So... look, I have him 28th on my board. I think he's a flex option, and that's kind of what he's been. Actually, he's been more of an RB2 the past few weeks. He has 3 straight top 23 finishes, 11-plus points in all 3 games. So does he have a super high ceiling? No. Does he have a decent floor when you're in desperation, you're looking for an RB2 or a flex? Yes, he does. And we saw that last week. He played 52 snaps. 52 snaps in that game. Most teams run 64, 65 plays a game. They had a high-volume game. He played 52 snaps in that game, 13 carries and 3 targets. The Dolphins defense, if you're thinking about matchup here, kind of mid-pack against running backs, but they started off really poorly this season. They've been a lot better as of late, so the matchup is not as good as it looked a couple weeks ago. Nonetheless, the volume there, the usage is there, where again, you can use them as a flex.
Hollywood Brown inside the top 15. We'll talk about wide receiver cornerbacks a little bit later on in the show. He doesn't strike me as the kind of wide receiver who's consistently drawing a shadow, Mike, only because teams tend to use their cornerbacks shadowing bigger, more physical wide receivers. Marquise Brown is not big. He's extremely fast. He's kind of like Tyreek Hill does not draw a consistent shadow because he's just too fast to keep up with. But he's been incredible this year. He's a lineup lock. And I want to ask you about Rashad Bateman in just a second. But Stefania, part of Bateman's value could be tied to whether or not Sammy Watkins plays tonight. Will he?
It sounds like Sammy Watkins is coming back. Injured week 5 with a hamstring injury. It's no stranger to soft tissue injuries, but apparently he's been looking really good this week in the running that he's done. Now, the Ravens did not hold any official practices, so all their practice reports were estimations. But after projecting him as limited Monday and Tuesday, They gave him a designation of full for Wednesday. And it sounds like they're expecting Sammy Watkins to return, which would mean they would have Hollywood Brown, Sammy Watkins, and Rashad Bateman, who went into last week's game as questionable with a little scare, a little flare-up of the groin issue that kept him on IR early in the season, but clearly came out of that game unscathed. So those would be your top three.
There you have it, Mike. Not to be dismissed is Rashad Bateman, but also I don't know that we're quite at must-start territory. Mm-hmm. Is he a must-add?
He should be on benches for sure. It's first round talent. That's the kind of guy you want on your bench. 6+ targets in every game so far. 16th in air yards, actually, in the entire NFL in his past two games. So you're seeing that too, and that gives you an opportunity for big plays. Also, check this out. Okay. Interesting nugget on the Miami defense. 78% of the receiver units that have faced them have outscored their season average against Miami. That's highest in the NFL. So that's if you play against Miami, you're probably going to have a little uptick in your production. That's been the case all season long. And also, I want to backpedal for 1 second on Marquise Brown. I thought this was really interesting in doing some research. I came across this. Marquise Brown this season, more top tens and fewer finishes outside the top 30 than Tyreek Hill.
Wow.
So he has been really good. To your point, he moves all over the formation, much like Hill. It makes harder for teams to cover him well, and he has taken advantage. What a breakout season.
Who has better research than Mike Clay? Literally nobody. He just dropped that the Dolphins have allowed more receiving yards than average on 78% of their games. Like, I can't even regurgitate the stat. It's so nuanced and interesting. Mm-hmm.
But I'm a nerd, man. That's what nerds do. I just sit there at my... What did Dave Gettleman
Dave
do?
Gettleman.
Dave
yeah.
Gettleman, yeah. That's what I do.
I like to call you... What would it be? What's
analytics?
The list of things? No, the encyclopedia. Like, you're like a...
An encyclopedia would be good.
Well, okay. Field? That's not the word I was looking for.
What was it?
And the Britannica? Encyclopedia Britannica? Is that what it is?
That was it.
Claytanica?
Yeah.
Encyclopedia Claytanica is what is kind of what he is.
That works.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Took a while to get there. That one wasn't a winner. All right. Yeah, let's talk about...
Moving on to the next...
They're not all
so
winners,
Mark Andrews.
No, we've got Mark Andrews locked into our lineups, obviously. Yes, of course. He's been so good for them in 6 straight games with at least 6 or more with at least 10 targets. He's a really good tight end. They're hard to find. On Miami. Oh.
Can I ask? I just want to ask one real quick question.
Please ask as many as you want. Yeah.
I love Rashad Bateman. I know he's one of those guys that all of us are like excited about because he's young as a rookie, but how much can this offense support 3 pass catchers like that, understanding how heavily they use Lamar in the run game? And that doesn't even include the regular running backs who they don't even really have now.
You know what? I think more than you might expect. And here's the reason why. This Baltimore defense, it's weird. They are as prone to allowing big plays as anybody in the NFL. It is not close. They give up more explosive plays than any defense this year. Mm-hmm. It is crazy. And because of that, they're playing in all these shootouts all of a sudden, Mike.
Yeah, and part of that, I think, was the injuries, too, that they suffered, right? I mean, don't forget, they don't have Marcus Peters. He's one of the better corners in the NFL. He got hurt in the offseason. He's out for the year. Jimmy Smith is a part-time player now, right?
Veteran,
so Marlon Humphrey's in a different role now from before. So that's part of the issue there. But you're right. And look, think about how good Hollywood Brown has been over the past few weeks. And think about how good Mark Andrews has been, right? And we just talked about Devontae Freeman having some relevance. Rashad Bateman has 2 top 35 fantasy weeks during that span, too. So, I mean, they are supporting them. I'm a little nervous about his targets with Sammy Watkins back in there. Maybe that knocks him down a little bit if they want to take it easy on him. But, man, the guy has so much raw talent. That's why you keep him on your bench and you consider him for your flex. And also, one little nugget here. I mentioned this before. This is not a run-heavy offense anymore, right? They could support more pass catchers. So I think there's room for 3 pass catchers in the offense.
When you say one little nugget, like, how many do you have available, like, at all times?
We could probably do a 8-hour show.
Like they do those, like sometimes you'll see people bring a jar into the office and you have to guess how many M&Ms are in there.
Yep.
Right. That's what we should do. Mike will bring a jar of nuggets in one day and we'll just guess how many he has available.
I just want to hang on that one for a minute because this was really impressive. We talk about the Ravens being a running team to start the season. They lose every single star running back to a major injury, and they essentially convert to a passing team, is what you're saying. And they're still in contention, and they still have an opportunity to win the division.
Oh yeah,
that's pretty impressive.
I will say this: they're amazing. I'm not Mike Clay. I do wonder about regression, Mike. They've had so many like close nail biters that have just gone in their favor. And they have the best kicker by far in the NFL. That helps.
But just like at some point, can you really come back from 14 points in the fourth quarter consistently?
Not all the time. You can't. It helps if you have Lamar Jackson, right. But A-plus team building and coaching for sure with this team. I mean, over the past couple of years, they have lost so much talent, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And it's like, well, they're going to take a step back on defense, and they never do. I mean, this is the first time we've really seen that from them, and they've more than offset that with terrific offense. So I'm not really worried about them. I think in terms of raw talent on paper in the offseason, I felt like Cleveland was better, and maybe they will prove to be the case. I think Cleveland's better than their record so far this season, but I mean, Baltimore just keeps getting it done, and you can't really bet against Sean Harbaugh. He's just too good.
The great Kevin Pulsifer is a researcher for Fantasy Football Now, who used to play in the Survivor League until this week, sent us a suggested nickname, Encyclopedia.
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 That's why he's a researcher, Daniel, right. And you're not.
Well, he always has puns in our Fantasy Football Now notes. They're always so good.
He's so good.
You guys
so
think quick. Matthew is... little, like, you know, the cheesy with like the Noah Fantastic effort on Sunday. Kevin Pulsifer can absolutely dominate Matthew
absolutely.
In that regard. All right, let's keep this thing moving here with the Dolphins and Stefania. Tua missed last Sunday against the Houston Texans. They ended up winning this game. Do you expect him to be available, though, on the short turnaround?
It sounds like it's possible. Sounds mm-hmm. like Miami's hopeful. He is coming in officially as questionable, coming in officially as a game time decision. So we're not likely to know until later today. He's been out at all the walkthroughs for Miami this week, going through all the steps. I think it really comes down to how they feel about where his finger healing is now that there was this fracture detected in his throwing hand. You have to be mindful of that. I don't know what they have planned, if there's additional imaging that they want to see before they clear him fully to go. He was there as a backup last week. So It does make you think that they weren't too concerned about the possibility of him stepping into a game, but it's also about functionality and all the unknowns that can happen during the course of a game. You take a snap wrong, you hand off, you get your finger hit to a helmet, things that can go badly. But it sounds like he's making good progress and he's feeling better. And I would say right now, if all goes well, it certainly feels like a game where Tua will be under center.
The Dolphins did confirm that even if he's not starting, he'll be active. He'll be the emergency
like
quarterback. There will be no third quarterback call-up from the practice squad. So
Jake Dolgala.
Jake Dolgala from?
I don't know.
The U.
You
know this of?
Miami.
Central Connecticut State.
Oh.
Whoa. Come on. You guys should know that one. When it's a local kid, you should know that one.
I'm not from
Failure.
Here.
What?
Come we on, all Daniel. Live here, though.
What?
I'm not from here either. We all live here.
Oh, well, yeah. You're right. I should have just downloaded the Encyclopedia and
correct.
Just taken all of
no,
the...
No. I've always said, if there's one thing, like if I... like the one... like section of trivia that I think I'm in like the 1 percentile of. I do believe where NFL players went to college is my one thing.
Oh yeah.
That's my
one totally.
Thing. Definitely.
Yeah.
We'll other stuff that's we'll more useful. That
no,
easily.
Just try me. Yeah. Anyways, let's keep things moving here in Miles Gas. Oh, by the way, on Tua, just by the way, like I think we all felt optimistic about him going into the Houston matchup last week. It's a more difficult matchup. And even though it sounds like he has a chance to start the game, I'd be too nervous that what happens if he takes one hit on that finger early in the game, and next thing you know, it's Jacoby Brissett the rest of the way. So I would be looking elsewhere this week.
Yeah, I think you could be safe and go that direction. I agree with you. If he is active, though, I mean, keep in mind, the Ravens have allowed 5 top 10 fantasy weeks this season. Only Washington has allowed more. Well, so, you know, you talked before about some of their struggles with big plays. They actually have allowed a lot to quarterbacks. So just keep that in mind. But at the same time, you're better off being safe. And you've probably been thinking, you couldn't have gone throughout this whole week expecting to use him, so right. You probably have another option. You should probably go that
well,
direction.
Well, it's early, easy to pivot on a Thursday night matchup as
sure,
well. Miles
sure.
Gaskin, I will say this. It's not great, but it's getting better. And I've given up on any hopes for rushing efficiency, Mike, but what I have liked is there has been rushing volume, and also the fact that with Malcolm Brown out, it's kind of been the Miles Gaskin show. How about this? Last week, he had 26 touches against Houston.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. He's averaging 20 touches per game over his past 3 efforts. Enough in the passing game that I think he's kind of settled in as a low-end RB2.
Yeah, and it's in the running game now, 15.7 carries per game over his past 3 games, but it's been all year in the receiving game, right?
Sure,
I mean,
yeah.
He's also averaging 5 targets per game during that span. He's 4th in targets and catches at the running back position this season. So we've already had that involvement all year long. Now we're getting the carries to go along with it. It's led to 16-plus fantasy points in 3 of his past 5 games. And again, we're not used to talking about this, but it is a good matchup against Baltimore. 2nd most fantasy points over expected to running backs, the 7th most touchdowns, and the area they really struggle field is in the passing game. 9.0 yards per target to running backs. It's one of the worst in the NFL. That is really the part of their game where they've had such a hard time. So this sets up well for Gaskin to have a good game, and he's certainly a solid RB too.
Before we keep moving to the wide receivers, Stefania, as I understand it, has some news.
Yes, the Arizona Cardinals have activated wide receiver A.J. Green from the reserve COVID-19 list.
Okay, that is good news for A.J. Green. Placed on the list last week. I believe it was Monday or Tuesday of last week. So perhaps one wide receiver back on Sunday. We'll keep you updated about DeAndre Hopkins' status tomorrow. Back to the Dolphins. Remember that Devontae Parker and Will Fuller are both on IR. This is an interesting stat. Mike Tannenbaum mentioned this on Twitter. Do you realize that Jaylen Waddle has a large lead amongst all rookies in terms of catches this year? It may not feel like it because Ja'Marr Chase has been so amazing. Mm-hmm. It's just that Jaylen Waddle has been playing. He's been like Wes Welker so far this year for Miami. Like, they don't go very far. Wes is an amazing player, obviously. But it was never about yards per catch for Wes. It was about elite route running and incredible instincts and zone coverage and all those things. Jaylen Waddle has a ton of catches, Mike. He's become a useful low-end wide receiver 2/strong flex play every week.
Yeah, no doubt about him. Part of it's availability with the other guys like Parker and Fuller out, but part of it is them manufacturing touches for him like some other teams should be doing. Kadarius Toney. It'd be nice if other teams did that with their rookies as well. So we are getting that from Jaylen Waddle, sixth at receiver in catches, to your point, with 56, 8+ targets in 4 straight games, averaging 10.2 per game during that span. Over 10 targets a game. That's what some superstars don't even get that. So he's been terrific. 3 top 20s during the span. He's the volume is there for him. He's a must start.
Phil, I want to ask you a question because we've talked about Jaylen Waddle's big playability in college. So obviously we had that fun stat that you talked about, how he had so many yards, like 40+ yards averaged per touchdown.
Yeah.
I want to ask you as a part of that, because I don't watch enough college football.
I know where he went to school.
Where do you go to school, Stefania?
Alabama.
Good for you.
I thought that's what you were going to ask Field, because you were saying college and Jaylen.
No, that's fair. That's fair. What I want to know is, while he had those big touchdowns, were those big touchdowns touchdowns that he took and then had huge run after the catch? Or are those touchdowns that he caught 45 yards downfield because he just has the ability to be able to get deep on people? Because Tua, it feels like they're giving them the ball so close to the line. Is it the same way that they used him in college for someone that didn't watch enough of his college tape?
It was both. I mean, he had a couple of plays that were just ridiculous, like zigzagging long touchdown runs. That being said, a lot of it was just he ran right past the coverage and the safety had no chance, and Tua and especially Mac Jones, which could go and just drop it in the bucket here. So I would say this. In Miami, it shouldn't be surprising for a couple of reasons. One, Tua's been in another lineup. Two, they can't protect anybody right now. Mm-hmm. Three, defenses league-wide are just intent on shutting down big plays more than ever, it feels like. Maybe call it the Chiefs/Bills effect that we discussed yesterday. Yep. Like, it's really hard if you can't protect your quarterback to have him attempt throws down the field. And that, to me, feels like what's happening with Miami. It'll eventually get better. But for now, at least his value, Jaylen Waddle's value, is saved by the fact that Mike talked about. Like, he is getting DeAndre Hopkins-type volume in this offense. Last player is my favorite big receiver in the league because he's not a tight end. It's Mike Gesicki. I will die on that hill that he is not a tight end. He is an oversized slot receiver. He comes inside our top 10 for all those that are ranking him as a tight end, which I am, obligated to do because he still remains one in our game, even though I think as far as NFL teams are considered, he is an opposing big wide receiver. We're going to come back and talk about wide receiver cornerback matchups. Maybe Mike Gesicki will make that one at some point soon. But before we do, Daniel, tell us about GetUpside.
Hey, football fans. We have an incredible app that everyone who buys gas that needs to know about. It's called GetUpside. Our listeners are making up to 25 cents off for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code FFF and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Download the app for free and use promo code FFF to get up to 50 cents gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there is no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. just download the free GetUpside app. Use promo code FFF to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code FFF.
No matter what the sport, professional leagues go through a rigorous process to select the best athletes for their teams. What if you had the tools to put that type of rigor into your hiring process? Well, you've got them when you use ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. So how does ZipRecruiter scout the best and brightest for your team? Its matching technology scans resumes across its network of millions of job seekers to find qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. Then you can easily review recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply for your job, which encourages them to apply faster. No wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first play. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. And again, that's 06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now we are back to discuss wide receiver cornerback matchup. Mike's excellent column went up yesterday. And Mike, the Chargers have an interesting matchup on Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. Let's start with Mike Williams, who has been so hit or miss recently. We've talked about it. Like, for a while, I was of the mind that if you had Mike Williams, you just ride it out and you just play him because the good days are going to outweigh the bad days. It's getting closer to an even split now.
Yeah, it really is. 3 straight duds. And yeah. I mean, last week he was on, I think we talked about him in this segment. He had a tough matchup against Darius Slay, right? He was shadowed, so it wasn't totally unexpected. We'll talk about a little bit more about Slay and that situation later. But an opportunity to get back on track here, right, against Minnesota, because they have had their struggles here. You have Patrick Peterson, first of all. He's on IR, so mm-hmm. he won't be playing. And then Bashaud Breeland left injured last week. He's already struggled this season, and he got hurt. We're not sure if he's going to play this week, so we'll keep an eye on that. But you have Cameron Dantzler and potentially Breeland on one side. You have Mackenzie Alexander in the slot, and Minnesota has struggled. 6th most fantasy points to receivers, 5th most over the past month, and also over the past month, 7th most to the perimeter, 3rd most to the slot. So just across the board, this team has struggled against that wide receiver position. Williams, 84% of the time, he's on the outside. So he's going to see Dantzler, the second-year corner, and he's going to see their Breeland or Chris Boyd if Breeland's out. So it's a really nice matchup for him, and it's also a good matchup for Keenan Allen in the slot against Mackenzie Alexander, who at times is a good corner, but again, they've allowed a ton of production to that spot over the past month, and Allen's been back on track. With Williams going down, Allen's been bouncing back here with a couple good games, including against the Eagles last week.
He did have a solid game this past week against Philadelphia. Let's move to Indianapolis receiver Michael Pittman Jr., who's been exceptional recently, Mike. They put the Jaguars on Sunday, which I would tell you was a soft matchup, but I also watched them beat the Bills and hold mm-hmm. them to 0 touchdowns this past week.
Yeah, how about this for a surprise? Now, this is a really interesting one for me because there's pluses here for Pittman and there's negatives. And if you start with the negative, it's that he's probably going to draw the Shaq Griffin shadow, right? And I looked at what he has done when Griffin is shadowed, and this is all since week 5, so this is all pretty recently here for Griffin. A.J. Brown, he shadowed him. 3 catches, 38 yards, no touchdowns. Okay. DK Metcalf, 6 for 43. He did have 2 touchdowns, so he kind of bailed it out, but only 43 yards in that game. And then Stephon Diggs last week did not score a touchdown at 6 for 85 with the Bills kind of in comeback mode throughout that game. So he's done a decent job, right? Those are some really good players, and he's done a good job. Those are 3 of the best receivers in the NFL, and he kind of contained them a little bit. So Pittman probably draws that shadow on most of his routes this week. But on the other hand, the Jags have allowed the 7th most fantasy points to receivers and the 3rd most over expected and the 7th most to the perimeter,
right,
which is Pittman, where Pittman usually aligns. So there's an opportunity here for him to maybe struggle a little bit against Griffin, not be open as often, but then get away from him occasionally when he's in the slot or moving around and gets a couple decent plays against his defense. So I don't think you go into panic mode. I think you upgrade T.Y. Hilton if he plays. You upgrade Zach Pascal. But Pittman, maybe lower expectations slightly here.
So a slight downgrade.
I would say downgrade, but
slight downgrade.
Not panic mode downgrade, but one nonetheless.
It sounds like Chase Claypool is going to miss some time for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They play on Sunday against Daniel's Detroit Lions, a game that the Steelers are favored quite heavily in, Mike. What does that mean for Deontay Johnson on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it's a really good spot here against Detroit. Now, they kind of quietly were okay against receivers early in the season, but they didn't face much pressure, and that kind of shows up in the numbers, right? 13th fewest fantasy points allowed to receivers this season. That sounds like a neutral matchup, but the second most over expected. Why? They face the fewest wide receiver routes and the fourth fewest wide receiver targets this season, but the efficiency has been terrible. The highest yards per target and fifth highest catch rate allowed to that position this season. And when they have actually played really good, heavily targeted receivers, they have struggled. 19 plus fantasy points allowed to Cooper Kupp, Deebo Samuel, Devontae Adams, and Justin Jefferson. We're starting to see some cracks in the foundation lately. The fantasy points have started to add up against them in the past month or so. So I think this benefits Deontay Johnson, great matchup, and James Washington suddenly joins the flex conversation with Claypool out, of course.
Stefania, do you have any more insight on what Chase Claypool is dealing with right now?
Yeah, it's a toe injury. Now, Chase Claypool earlier in the season dealt with a hamstring injury, but this is a toe injury. He had an MRI, and it sounds like it's not quite as serious as they thought it might be, but certainly something you don't want to rush a player back from.
Okay, so we'll keep an eye on whether Chase Claypool is available at all this week. If not, James Washington, as Mike just mentioned, settles into a fairly, potentially, nice role. Let's go to the final one of our wide receiver cornerback matchups, Mike. It's the Broncos, who got a huge win on Sunday over the Cowboys against your Eagles. What does it mean for Courtland Sutton and Tim Patrick?
Yeah, I'm definitely concerned about Courtland Sutton, and I tweeted this the other day, but Courtland Sutton has 12.3 fantasy points in three games that Jerry Jeudy has played. That's not average. That's his total point total, 12 right. points in those three games, and he's averaging like 16 in the games that Jeudy missed. So that's already a concern. Now you're going to draw the Darius Slay shadow. And again, if you thought the Shaq Griffin numbers were decent, how about this? The guys that Slay has shadowed this season, TJ Moore, 5 for 42 and no touchdowns in that game. Mike Evans, 2 for 27, no touchdowns. Henry Ruggs, 4 for 24, no touchdowns. Mike Williams, 2 for 58 last week and no touchdowns. If he shadows you, you have not had a good fantasy game this season. And Courtland Sutton lines up on the perimeter 87% of the time. It's possible Slay's on him 90% of the time in this game, up in that 85 to 90% range. It's a really tough matchup, one of the toughest I've seen overall. Like, there's always like extenuating circumstances, like he'll be in the slot occasionally, or this guy's questionable, or whatever it may be. This is one of the toughest I've seen this season. The Eagles, wow, on top of Slay being really good, are really good against receivers. Fourth fewest to that position, third fewest to the perimeter, and the fewest. They've allowed the fewest fantasy points to Darius Slay's side of the field this season, where he primarily aligns straight across. A really tough matchup. I will say this, though. Jerry Jeudy in the slot 75% of the time. The Eagles have been pretty good statistically there, but last week we saw Keenan Allen feast in the same role that Jeudy plays, right? A lot of the high percentage throws in the slot. So I feel okay with Jeudy. Sutton, not at all. I'm very nervous about him.
And Tim Patrick goes in the downgrade category as well, just because of the perimeter numbers, yes, you just highlighted. I know, stronger to Slay's side, but still.
Yeah, Steven Nelson at times, you know, I could go through his numbers, but he's allowed more production when Slay has been shut down, so it helps him a little bit. But I still, we've talked about this, I'm worried about his upside and his production with Jeudy and Sutton. And don't forget that Fant is involved. He's going to be back from, as well, yep, he was activated from the COVID list. All those targets make it hard for Patrick to be consistent. I know he's coming off a big game, but I don't like him a lot.
And by the way, it should be noted that Tim Patrick did miss practice on Wednesday, yes, with a knee injury. Daniel, what do you got?
So I want to ask Mike a question, because a lot of times when you write wide receiver cornerback matchups, we'll see these matchups where both of the Chargers or all of the Chargers wide receivers are an upgrade. All of the Steelers wide receivers are an upgrade. But for the Broncos, only Courtland Sutton and Tim Patrick are a downgrade, and Jerry Jeudy, you said, is still fine. But notably, the fact that you left him out feels different to me than a lot of the other weeks. What is it about his role, or what they don't do for defending Jerry Judy's role, that you like him but you don't like these two guys?
Well, it's where they line up on the field, right? So you have Sutton outside, so Slay will be on him in man coverage quite a bit. They run a lot of zone, but he's going to be one-on-one, or at least follow him around the field, so he'll be the primary man in coverage. Tim Patrick on the other side will be with Steven Nelson on that side of the field. Again, the Eagles with that zone, he's going to have safety help. He's going to have a hard time getting open. And then Jerry Judy's in the slot, right? So he's going to be up against Avante Maddox. That's a better matchup. The Eagles have been, again, above average against the slot, but not quite as dominant as the perimeter. And again, last week we saw Keenan Allen in that same role, lining up in the slot most of the time. And what do you have, 10 catches in that game, 11 catches? He had a huge game. So that's why I'm not as concerned about Jerry Jeudy as I am about, of course, Sutton and
what,
Patrick.
Judy's what, a low-end wide receiver too, a flex play?
Yeah, but I probably am 27th, I would guess. Yeah,
Mike, memorize your ranks. Please. Don't bother coming
to
the show.
Put some effort into the show before you come on.
Sorry, I'll prep for the next show.
Yeah. Veteran's Day, for goodness sake.
A little respect, will you, Mike? Wide receiver cornerback matchup column available on ESPN Plus right now. Go find Mike on Twitter, Mike Clay NFL, if you want to see all of his great content funneled into one spot. Let's talk about some players that are ranked in interesting spots this week. And I want to start by asking Stefania about Kyler Murray, because last I checked, Stefania, he still hasn't practiced.
He hasn't, but he says he's feeling way better than he did a week ago. I mean, I think the confidence in his ankle is way up from where it was a week ago. And one of the things that's challenging for him, DeAndre Hopkins, the guys on this team, they want to play through everything. Kyler Murray does not like to miss games. He said that last week he didn't even know what to do before the game. Like, he had no idea how to act because he just hadn't missed a game as a pro and didn't know what his role should be or what his routine should be in the morning. And I think, you know, that's part of it. They just have this mentality of wanting to go. And I think for them, hearing from the medical staff, hearing from the coaches, why it's so important to really take the long view, and having a week where he could see that the rest and the treatment made a huge difference got him to buy in a little bit more. I think he has a better shot to play this week. I don't think it's definite yet.
As of about 20 minutes ago, when local reporters got to their session, they did not see Kyler Murray on the practice field, or DeAndre Hopkins for that matter. Stefania just used the term long view. Perhaps that applies once more. Mike, if he does play, it's actually a pretty stingy matchup. The Panthers' defense has been the only strength of their team so far this year. Where would you have him ranked if he does play?
QB 10 right now, and I'm not sure. Like, he started out the season with the first place finishes at quarterback in weeks early. 1 and 2.
Yeah,
but since that point, he has one weekly finish better than 9th.
Yeah, no, I'm with. I have a 13th on my board this week.
Yeah, so and you know what the real key is? You know, obviously at times he can light it up through the air in this offense, right? They spread it out with the receivers, but he is not a factor with his legs.
No running
this
no
season.
Running. Yeah.
And I actually looked at this. I wanted to see. He has 15 scrambles this season. He had 57 last year. He's on pace for right around 300 rushing yards. He had 819 last year. That is a huge difference. He's averaging three yards a carry. I mean, I don't know what's up there. I know that, you know, he didn't have to run, I guess, in the first couple of weeks there when they were lighting it through the air and then he got beat up a little bit. Maybe that's a factor. Maybe he gets healthy and starts running more, but I don't know if that's going to be a big part of his game now. Maybe it just slowed down and it's not going to be a big factor there, but that makes me a little bit nervous about him going forward.
Well, along those lines, putting your money where your mouth is, I have he and Carson Wentz on a team. I'm playing Carson Wentz this week.
I
think people will be like, you still got to play Kyler, right? No, I'm playing Carson Wentz, who's been good, obviously. Mm-hmm. They play the Jaguars on Sunday, as we mentioned just a few moments ago. Russell Wilson, Stefania, I just want to ask you about him.
Yeah.
His surgeon is emphatic. He's good. He's clear. He's going to play on Sunday. Are you totally convinced he's good to go on Sunday without limitation?
So this, to me, is a fascinating story for a couple of reasons. Number one, it might be the most significant hand injury to a quarterback that we've ever seen.
Wow.
I don't think people appreciate that this fracture dislocation of that near joint in his finger is something that could have been career threatening, really, had it not been fixed the way it was and had it not healed to the point that it has. And then on top of that, he had a tendon repair at the next joint. So a very complicated injury, and he's healed remarkably well. You know, I like to remind people, though, that clearance to return to play does not mean fully healed. They don't necessarily equate. And what happens is there's big conversation between medical staff, the player, sometimes involves the player's agents, the coaches, but the risk and the reward, primarily the surgeon and the player, is where it starts. And everything's laid out. Like, if you can do X, we see enough healing that we'll feel comfortable with allowing you to proceed, but understand that something could happen in the game and there could be a setback. And so I think it's important for people to really understand that, because people assume when a player steps on the field, oh, he's 100% healthy. But is he 100% functional? And that's what they've been looking for in practice. He has enough range of motion to grip the football. That's all he needs, even if he doesn't have full range of motion yet. And he has enough strength to grip the football. And he feels like he's ready to get out there. His conditioning, obviously, is excellent. We saw that Russell Wilson was maintaining that throughout. And then he's been able to show his coach that he could do everything he needed to do, which happened in practice on Wednesday. So I think the team feels very good about it. I fully expect Russell Wilson to play. I'm going to be a little nervous until he gets a couple more weeks out, because we just know from a healing parameter standpoint, again, he had to have enough healing, and they're looking at the bone healing from that fracture. They're looking at the extent of the scar tissue and the repair in the tendon. Had to have enough for them to feel comfortable clearing him. Doesn't mean he's totally out of the woods, but Russell Wilson can run, and as long as he can throw without issue, I'm putting him back in my lineup if I have him on my fantasy team.
Okay, so all the health stuff seems, for the most part, check out. Mike, let me ask you. I think your rankings may indicate you have a bit more trepidation about starting him on Sunday.
Yeah, a little bit. And you know, look, he's appeared in 4 full games this season. He has 3 top tens, right? So he's been solid. He's been hanging in there. But the key here really is the Packers defense. They've been outstanding. 4th fewest fantasy points over expected to the quarterback position. You know, we have a lot of quarterback options. You just talked about Carson Wentz and how well he's playing. We have some streaming options. We have a bunch of guys that we're talking about right now coming back from injury or the COVID list. You have options. So for me, I have him as a borderline QB1 this week, but I don't have any doubt he'll be a QB1 option, a safe one, a high floor one going forward this season.
So I know you have, I believe it's called prefer versus not prefer. Is that coming out soon on ESPN+?
Prefer versus not prefer. Right. Yes.
So far your not prefer lists include Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson. Where does Patrick Mahomes check in on that list?
Patrick Mahomes, man.
Is he a prefer or not prefer?
I don't know right now. In all seriousness, like, what do you do with Patrick Mahomes? I mean,
listen to yesterday's podcast to find out what to do to Patrick.
Show yesterday.
Yeah, he'll be fine, but yeah, man.
He has cost me 2 victories in Scott Fisher.
How about this? This is amazing. We talked about this yesterday, that Patrick Mahomes has been on the losing team in our Survivor League 3 times in 9 weeks.
What?
1/3 of the time, the starting quarterback for the losing team, the team that scored the fewest points in a Survivor League, is Patrick Mahomes. Quarterbacks are how you stay in that league. They set the high floor, right? I mean, that's what they do every single week.
I saw that he came available. I was like, I'm not picking him up.
He's going to make more money. He's going to get paid more money in the Survivor League than he is in real life. He's got the richest contract ever. Holy cow. People are spending more $9,000 a week on Patrick Mahomes in that league.
By the way, did we mention that Stefania's killing it in Fishbowl? Someone told me this.
Scott Clark and Damian, I think, were all top 100.
No way. Nice.
Damian's like 12th, isn't he?
Yeah. I've been in the top 25. I might have fallen out there. I had a loss.
You were 14
this week.
At one point. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was 7. 7th was my highest so far this season. But Patrick Mahomes cost me 2 victories.
Wow. Do you want to?
Come on, Mahomes.
If you want to, Stefania, like, you can. Right now, you can call him a bust if you want right now. Like, I'm going to give you this opportunity.
Okay. I'm gonna give him a little bit more. hey, regression guy. Is he going to regress back to, like, you know?
Excellence.
Yeah. You know what, though? You talked before about the cover 2 shells everybody's using against Kansas City to try to stop him down. The Packers didn't even do that. They ran a lot of man last week, and he still didn't do much.
Don't you feel like a lot of his challenges are self-imposed? I mean, I feel like I'm seeing a guy who is throwing the ball, trying to make crazy plays when that's not necessarily the thing. And I think that I see a Patrick Mahomes who doesn't look as comfortable with himself as he has, so... You know, maybe that's just the PT in me.
I'm going to say this. Not Cool Keith just sent me a Slack saying that Eric Moody has a trade article where he talks about a bunch of the Chiefs right now up on ESPN Fantasy. So go check that out, ESPNFantasy.com. Not a plus article. It is a free article.
There you go. Ooh, and nice. Eric Moody, of course, the newest member of our ESPN Fantasy team. Go follow him on Twitter and check out all of his work. I'm sure we'll have him here on the show at some point in the near future. One last quarterback update, Stefania. Just a reminder on the timeline here for Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers can be removed from the reserve COVID-19 list. I believe he can be activated
Saturday.
As soon as Saturday. Mm-hmm. And so the plan, it sounds like, I know he did say that he was feeling better, had symptoms for a couple of days, but has since vastly improved, trying to get himself and his conditioning up. I mean, he does acknowledge that that's really the issue for him, is getting the conditioning to where it needs to be to play in a game. But all the signs point to him playing on Sunday.
And Mike, you would have him inside your top 10 if he does play on Sunday.
Yeah, I have him 9th. He's 7 straight top 15s before he went on the COVID list. He had that bust week in Jacksonville against New Orleans in week 1. Since then, just a consistently high floor, what we come to expect from Aaron Rodgers. They're averaging about a full offensive touchdown per game less this year than last year, and still he's been hanging in there in the QB1 conversation. So
another not prefer there. It sounded like
a not prefer. It really does.
I bench everyone. Rodgers. I just think at this point,
Lamar it's Jackson. True. Mike Clay really hates your team. Yeah. I've always heard that that's true, but you just hate everyone.
That's true. I do. You know, I'm biased against all 32 teams.
Yes.
Well, I know. I believe if I heard you're high on Taylor Heinicke this week in DFS, is that correct?
I think you got to get Marcus Mariota in there.
Okay, right? Stop it.
I'm all about the
stop
backups.
It.
Well, you can find more DFS content coming up shortly.
Yes, you can.
As you can watch and listen to the CSS DFS podcast, of course, it drops every Thursday right into the Fantasy Focus feed. It is Daniel. It is Mike. It is Al Zeidenfeld as well. If you want to win some money over the weekend with daily fantasy lineups, check out those three geniuses. In the meantime, we are coming back tomorrow, Friday, with our usual preview show. Stefania will be an encyclopedia of knowledge in regards to injuries. Daniel, Matthew, and I will also be there. Thanks again to all those
who have served, do serve,
and will serve our great country. We immensely appreciate you. Words could never put into proper context just how much you are the backbone of this country. Daniel, we love you. For Mike and Stefania and Daniel, I'm Field. We'll talk to you guys on Friday.
No secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you a Lions fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dopp.
Who's that? Who's that squirrel? Who's that squirrel?
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.